Since the move north to Manchester, I've been independent, living by myself in the grim north. It's coming up to 2 years living away from the parents, and I've found a few quirky things that happen to you when you move out. So this is a light-hearted list of things I've learned since moving out of the parents' pad. I have to make a point of saying that I moved into house shares, but none of the people I've moved in with have been people I knew beforehand. So let's begin. Me, myself, and I. One of the things that I learned happened a good 6 months after I had settled in. It was that rearranging a room can make the world of difference. Moving for the first time was daunting and exciting. I never moved away for university, so this was my first break away from Potter's Bar, my hometown. When I first moved, I made minor tweaks here and there in the room so my TV could fit, but apart from that, the room was left as it is. It was only till I met my girlfriend that I realised I could shift the room about. Having someone else's set of eyes helped to realise the potential for the room, and soon enough, we got shifting. It made the world of difference, and sure, I've done this to my room back at the parents, but being in someone else's house, I guess it just took that little bit of time till it felt like it was my own. Next up, I learned that it's down to you to sort yourself out. You've only got your own company when moving to a new city. The independence factor means it's your choice on how you live, the clubs you sign up for, what you do with your spare time, and how many spare toilet rolls you have to hand. That leads me on to sharing things. In the first house I stayed in, no one would go out of their way to replace the washing up liquid, dishwasher tablets, or the like. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and I sure as hell ain't buying those every time. Housemates from hell. Before I left my parents, I thought most people were normal. And by normal, I mean you see them out and about in town, you can have a drink together and socialise, if only briefly. However, when you move into a house full of strangers, you find this is not the case. Particularly in the first house. I could swear I was living with at least two convicts and one psychopath. The reasoning for this judgement stems from the constant passive-aggressive notes on the whiteboard. When the landlords first got this new house, they thought it'd be a fantastic idea to have a communal whiteboard so we could have a central place of communicating out to everyone. How wrong they were. Coming home to a house, not a home, full of strangers, who wouldn't speak to each other, is simply bizarre. I never thought such an environment would exist where you can share a house with 12 other people and not become friends, but for the majority of them, it remains like that to this day. When I moved in, I was in the dark on how crappy the living situation was there. You walk by people you're sharing a house with and don't utter a word to each other. Beyond passive-aggressive messages on a board, that was your only communication with some people. Moving out opened my eyes into the world of sharing houses with strangers. There were plenty of personalities I hadn't met before, and a lot of people who lived very sheltered and weird lives. The house was so toxic. So praise the Lord that I made the move to a better home. The first time a housemate moved out, I was a little bit stunned. I thought it was huge news, while the other housemates didn't really bat an eyelid. Over time though, I've become used to it too. Sure, it's big news when someone moves out, but I'm not as taken aback as I once was. Living with the parents is a definite reason for that quirk of mine. No one left my parents for a good 20 years. Out in the real world, it happens all the time. Food, glorious food. Living alone meant I learned a load of new things about food and how I was brought up. Now, every single purchase was coming out of my own back pocket. I needed to be less disposable. Coming from a family that seemed to only believe that only frozen food goes in the freezer, it took time for me to adjust to freezing refrigerated things. Take bread, for instance. I never froze bread before. I didn't even know you could freeze that, but heck, up in Manchester, I wasn't letting this go to waste. Not before long, my freezer was crammed full of foods that would otherwise be chucked. All the small changes meant that I was shopping much cheaper, and no longer did I look down upon Aldi and Lidl with disgust like I would down south. Shopping at these giants meant I was spending £30 a week on food, when otherwise it would be 50. I'm a big fan of food, as you can probably tell by now. And in the spur of becoming a man, I save food from dinner for leftovers as lunch for the next day. That's not normal in my small corner of the world. If it's leftovers, it's going in the bin. Damn, my upbringing was weird. Every landlord thinks they are above average. I've been in a fortunate enough position where the two landlords I have been marvellous. Touch wood, I hope this to remain the case till I won't need one. When I come to view houses, I found that all landlords think they are above average. Whether it's the price, the extras on top, or the quality of room, most of them rate themselves highly. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a thing we're all guilty of. I'd rate my football skills above average, my tennis above average, my Call of Duty skill above average. But I can't even remember my last tennis match. This is starting to become a bit of a ramble, and it's perhaps a topic for a future blog post. But most people think they are above average. We as people don't like to be tarred with simply average. I need to do some more digging on the topic, but it is a thing, trust me. Back on topic. So most landlords think they are above average, and I've been thankful that I haven't had any bad experiences. But being in the market for a house and moving to Manchester has meant I've learned of the scummy landlords. Allow me to provide this one small piece of insight. So a friend moved into a house without seeing it first. Rookie mistake, I know, but bear with. So he moves in with all of his stuff, and thankfully his room was fine. Situated in a renovated factory turned block of flats, it's quirky. He wanders around to greet his new housemates, who aren't mental by the way, and turns out that one of them lives in a room without a window. It's practically a cupboard. His tenancy was all done through an agency, and my friend never did see the landlord, which is odd. But it goes to show that there are some dodgy landlords out there, trying to squeeze as many housemates as possible in. The fucking chores. Wow, a swear word in the title, but this is justified. Moving out of my parents' place, you kind of leave a team behind. Sure, I knew I'd have to do my own washing from now on, but I never thought of it as leaving a team behind. Someone would pick up who's cooking that night. Someone would iron my clothes. Someone would check that my car has its MOT. But living by yourself? You have a lot more stresses on your plate. It's strange to see that in the 21st century, when we have all this cushy life away from Mother Nature, we have all these stresses. It's no wonder that mental health is on the agenda. I've grown up while moved away. I hate to say it, but I'm becoming old. 25 doesn't have the same ring to it as 21 once did. But what can I do about time? I'm no Doctor Who. And no, I don't like Doctor Who, by the way. Since making the move, I haven't looked back. Living independently has forced me to become rounded, both figuratively and literally. I've learned the best washing machine settings for a quick wash. I get excited when buying a new sieve for the house. And I love meeting new housemates. Living 200 miles away from a family does have its drawbacks. Heck, can a man be homesick from time to time? But for now, Manchester is ticking all the right boxes for me. I've settled, and I'm happy. I'll see you in the next one. My gut says it won't be a long wait. A.